Now it's time for the afternoon reflection, and I wanna try to summarize a little bit. What is the work actually? What we are attempting or trying to do, and why are we doing this? So, both Venerable Dhammadipa and myself today we spoke about the four foundations of mindfulness. As a template for having an inroad into the tangle of assumptions we tend to project onto our experience as long as we are not fully enlightened. So that's all of us. And the Buddha has left us with a very pragmatic, toolkit through which we can find entrance doors into the tangle of our experience, which we tend to call, me and mine and all of the stories we tell ourselves, sometimes also called experience ourselves as a separate entity, as an ego, and it's a very complex situation, which starts with sense experience at the six sense doors, and then, we tend to form habit patterns over the lifetime or over lifetimes if we, have a understanding for that way of seeing things, and then it gets extremely complex. So the Buddha has left us these four foundations of mindfulness as a template to find a way into the tangle and start, to encourage the tangle to disentangle itself. Like often we can't really force it, but sometimes it's compared in Tibetan Buddhism with a snake, which is all tangled up in coils. You don't need to pull on the snake. It just finds its own way to disentangle itself if you don't interfere. And the same with our mind, not interfering in the way of judging, but then, setting causes and conditions for that disentangling to happen through insight, really, and through familiarizing ourselves with the way things truly are. And those four foundations of mindfulness are the framework which the Buddha, came up with. And the first foundation of body, that deals with our somatic experience. And in the scriptures, it's like meditation on the anatomical parts of the body, meditation on the elements, and today we worked with the earth element, and then also reflection on our mortality. I also was mentioning that when we spoke about, with the in-breath, this could be my last breath, and with the out-breath, relaxing. So that's the first foundation of mindfulness. And then the second foundation of mindfulness is a feeling tone. That's the affective quality of our experience. And it's really a snapshot of our experience in terms of pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. Or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So that's, gives us a handle on our experience. And that way of experiencing is a very early evolutionary capacity we have. When we were still living in much more immediate circumstances, maybe going through the jungle, going along the next tree, and something appears, will it eat me or can I eat it? Basically, that kind of judgment, through feeling tone, we can immediately have a visceral experience of what is it. And this way of reacting in this day and age where we live in very different circumstances needs to be checked because it's no longer working. It can get us into real trouble, if we just purely react from pleasant and unpleasant. And then the next level would be the cognitive quality of our experience, mind states, in terms of, a mind colored by desire, a mind colored by ill will or aversion, or a mind colored just like by, ambling around and not really knowing, delusion. Not really daring, to pick up or let go. So this kind of undecisiveness. So that's like the flavor of the mind, or is the mind contracted Or is the mind open? Is the mind collected? Or is the mind scattered? So like a general flavor or mood of the mind. To just being able, you know, to recognize that helps us to step out of identification with that mind state. Then, you know, instead of being the angry one or becoming the angry one, we know there is anger in the mind. Because the mind is contracted, there's an unpleasant feeling tone, and maybe, you know, we feel in the body a like heat coming up or tension. So, you know, if we are aware of those three levels of our experience in the foundations of mindfulness, then it's much more likely that we can just stay conscious with that anger and not speak from anger or not act out the anger, and just holding steady with it, and it's gonna pass because it's impermanent like any other mind's dead. And then sometimes it might be the right thing, you know, to bring up a perception of metta to temper the anger. Or maybe, you know, sometimes we have to really grit our teeth and really make a very strong, firm decision. I'm not gonna say anything. I just politely bow out of the situation and look after myself. So, you know, if we have the capacity to really stay mindful on those three foundations of mindfulness, we have much more choice in our lives. You know, what are we following up and what are we not following up? So that's, you know, why we do this practice. And then the fourth level of the fourth foundation of mindfulness, foundation of dhammas, or principles of nature, principles of the mind, that, you know, brings it home to us, relates all of our experiences to conditionality and how they are conditioned, you know, through if this happens, that happens, if this happens, that happens. So, you know, this, the connectedness, the conditionality of our experience is revealed, and what we usually see first is impermanence. And when Dhammadipa was saying, you know, that the Buddha said to contemplate impermanence for even one moment, for a finger snap, you know, is the most beneficial thing we can do. So that's not to be underestimated. But, you know, not impermanence in the sense of, oh, reading, everything is impermanent, but to really touch it with the body, to experience impermanence in the body. And through that direct experience, you know, making that part of our being, making that part of how we meet experience. So, you know, this is insight into conditionality leads to letting go of clinging, leads to viraga, as I spoke about in the guided meditation in the morning, the fading away of craving, the fading away of clinging. And that's really, you know, what we are after. If we are after anything here in the meditation, it's that, you know, setting the causal conditions in place so that the mind can have insight into the true nature of conditionality, and then through that insight, let's go. Because the mind has seen clearly for itself, you know, that clinging is futile, grasping is futile. It's not gonna lead to peace. It leads to more stress, to more dukkha. So, you know, the task of the meditation in the four foundations of mindfulness is to actually correct our assumptions about ourselves and others and life itself. To correcting those assumptions through seeing through our distortions of perception. And they are called in the Pali language the vipalasa. And sometimes it's translated as distortions of perception, inversions of perception, hallucinations of perception, or even sometimes perversions of perception. And the word vipalasa, you know, comes from the compound in Pali, vipariyasa, which means literally turned upside down. So it basically says, you know, that our net of delusion, which we tend to spin around experience, is distorting our experience. It's turning our experience upside down. And, you know, we're starting to habitually believe things being a way which they not are, which they are not. And through that, you know, the way how we relate to our experience is bringing us a lot of dukkha. So we wanna correct that. And the technology to correct it is the meditation in the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, to really learn what's really happening here. And through seeing that, slowly but surely, you know, those four vipalasa start to be washed out, you know, of our way of seeing. And I just like to share those four with you because they are correlating also to the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. And I'm going to list them in the order of the Foundations of Mindfulness. So the first one is, on the first foundation of mindfulness, is seeing what is not beautiful as beautiful. And, you know, that relates to the body. Not saying, you know, that the body, of course, the body can be very beautiful on the surface, but then, you know, if you are staying with it and paying attention to it, it tends to get old, it tends to get sick, and it will die. And if you penetrate under the surface of the body, what you find inside, you know, the blood, flesh, bones, and the organs and so on, they are not really beautiful. But they are not really ugly either. They are just what they are. It's not about judging. But it's about, you know, bringing a balance. Because sometimes we can be quite, you know, fascinated by staying on the surface of appearances and then, you know, losing depths, you know, by just, you know, being maybe, you know, really lost in desire for that thing, whatever it is. But then, you know, if we see it in a deeper way, we find out it isn't really what we think it is. So that would be the first vipalasa, seeing what is not beautiful as beautiful. And the instructions would be, you know, to go deeper, to go under the surface and to see. So that's the first one. Then the second one is second foundation of mindfulness, Vedana, feeling tones, is seeing what is painful, dukkha, as pleasant, sukha. And for example, you know, in our culture currently, even we are now actually all as a whole starting to really change that perception, you know, thinking that renunciation is inherently suffering. But in reality, if we investigate that, we find out, you know, not being dependent on so many things is actually a power, is actually a huge advantage. So that's, you know, understanding that. You know, usually we would say, if I don't have something, it's painful, and if I have it, it's great. But that vipalasa says, no, you know, if you don't need to have a lot of things, this is actually sukha, this is actually happiness, the freedom from wanting. So that's the second one. And then on the third foundation of mindfulness, that's the one about, you know, mind states. Seeing what is impermanent anicca as permanent nicca. So that's, you know, our mind states, for example. If you are observing the mind, you'll find out that those mind states, they are impermanent. They come and go. Just, you know, like the clouds moving through the sky. You know, one moment the mind is wide open and at ease in the present moment, and then suddenly, you know, something happens and there's a sense of fear, and then maybe anger arises, and then there is like feeling of guilt because there's anger, and then again, you know, we starting to beat ourselves up about that, and then the mind lets go and the next mindset arises. So to see the impermanence of the mind, so seeing what is impermanent as permanent would be the third vipalasa. And then understanding, you know, that attachment is futile. You can't win, you know, with attachment. It always will create dukkha. And then the fourth foundation of mindfulness is the vipalasa, the corresponding vipalasa is seeing what is without a self, anatta, as a self, atta. So that's, you know, the interconnectedness. I was, you know, guiding us before in the morning about, you know, reflecting on the body, you know, being completely dependent on the earth, all the elements, you know, being constantly exchanged through eating, breathing, heating, drinking, and then, you know, we go to the bathroom and let go of that, and there's a constant process happening. So that's the four vipalasa, and they need to be corrected through the practice. And, you know, the practice is paying attention to certain features of our experience inside of the four foundations of mindfulness. You know, paying attention to features of our experience we usually don't pay attention to, because usually, you know, an untrained mind is consumed by looking at experience in terms of wanting or not wanting. So in terms of judging, you know, more of this and less of that, and I'm bored, I'm this, I'm that. And the meditation instructions are is a guidance, you know, which helps us to step out of that way of looking into a impersonal way of attending to our experience in terms of those four foundations of mindfulness. And then, you know, we pay attention to certain features of our experience we usually are not looking at if we are not instructed. And the first one is seeing impermanence in action. And even, you know, the Buddha said that to pay attention to impermanence just for a finger snap is very, very important and very meritorious thing to do. Because that moment, you know, it's, if that's really done with full awareness, it will reverberate through your whole being. And it will undo, you know, some of those assumptions we tend to project onto our experience. And I'd like to give an example for that, you know, because those vipalasas, they can, you know, we can meet them on three levels. The first level is the level of perception, that's pretty superficial. Then the second level is the level of mind. And the third level is the level of view, that's the really the deepest one. And a good example is, you know, for example, you go into the forest and walk on the forest path and you see a long, dark object. And there's this feeling, you know, oops, it's a snake. And then you're looking again and no, actually, no, it's just a stick. So that was the first level, the level of perception. Where for a moment, you know, because perception is all about memory and for labeling, the mind was thinking a long, thin, dark thing on the ground is a snake. Just for a moment. I wonder if you had that experience. And then you look again and no, it's actually not. So it's just a moment. And then, you know, if you might have had in the past some experience with snakes, then you keep on walking and then you start thinking about it. That would be the next level, citta, mind. And you think, oh, you know, maybe there are some snakes and somebody told me once they met a snake when they were walking here and, oh, hopefully I won't, you know, and so on and so forth. And then start on, you know, kind of worrying about it. And then the next level would be like a phobia of snakes, you know, to have a real strong ingrained view about it and just not going in the forest at all after that. And whatever other people tell us, you know, a view, even, you know, the most clear information which comes, you know, from others to us. We are not willing to open our minds. We have a very clear preconceived idea and we don't want to change it. So that's the deepest way, you know. And in many ways, you know, this is how we are approaching our experience. So, you know, those vipalasa, they are, you know, they are part and parcel of our human conditioning, and it takes a lot of work, you know, to undo those. And you know, there are so many different ways how we can look at the practice and how we can, you know, explain what we are doing. And looking at the practice in terms of those four vipalasa is a very clear framework, and they, you know, they very beautifully meet the four foundations of mindfulness. I'm just gonna go through one more time before I end. So the first one is, you know, on the level of first foundation of mindfulness, body, seeing what is not beautiful as beautiful. Then on the second foundation of mindfulness, seeing what is painful as pleasant. On the third foundation of mindfulness, seeing what is impermanent as permanent. And the fourth foundation of mindfulness, seeing what is without a self as a self. So in a way, you know, that's the work which we have set out to do, and we are doing it by attending to our experience on those four foundations of mindfulness. And through having these instructions, you know, we are more and more able to see the impersonal nature of our experience. And by seeing that clearly, we have more and more capacity to stay conscious, to not go under, you know, in the emotional turmoil, and to stay steady, to stay mindful, to stay aware. And then through that seeing clearly, you know, those assumptions are slowly but surely disentangled and they just fading away. Viraga, fading away, letting go. And that's why we are practicing.